Blessing Hymn 529 to the tune Covenant Blessing 737. Sweet Jesus, how great is thy love, thy mercy and truth know no end, and all that are born from above shall find thee a permanent friend. Dear Saviour, enlighten my eyes that I may the wonders behold, contained in the law of the wise, too grand and too great to be told. Hymn 529.
Thank you. the Lord to be pleased to help this evening, we would direct your attention to the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 12 and verse 12. The 12th chapter in the first epistle to the Corinthians and the 12th verse. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. As we were looking at those words in the Ephesians this morning concerning the church and Christ, here this evening we have this particular figure set before us of the body representing the true Church of Christ, and how we desire, even in our day, that there might be this true unity among the members of it, that there might be that love one toward another, that oneness felt. We mentioned that word in the psalm this morning, and how we desire and covet such an experience of that. The psalmist could say, "Behold, how good and how pleasant a thing it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And we know from experience, friends, there is nothing to be compared to it when there is that true unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And surely it is set before us in this verse this evening. For as the body is one, our bodies have many members. Each member has a different office, and yet the body is one. And as we saw this morning in those four different things, there was a oneness, one building, one body, one family. And so with the husband and wife, they are made one. And so here this evening, friends, in the body, there is this oneness, this unity. Oh, how we would desire to dwell upon that unity. And our thoughts have gone to that memorable prayer of the Lord Jesus in the 17th of John. For this was the burden of his prayer as he came toward his sufferings and his death. His desire was that his people might know this oneness. I believe this, friends, that where there is that life within the soul, we shall have the same desire that the Lord Jesus Christ had, that we might know this true unity, this oneness. For as the body is one, the church is one, one in Christ, one with each other, joined together. How does the Lord Jesus pray then for these his people? I feel this is a wonderful prayer. It begins with a prayer for the Lord's people that they might have eternal life. This is the beginning of this unity, where the Lord grants spiritual life. There is a desire in that soul for this unity, this oneness. If we are born again believers, I believe we shall have a desire to be one in the things of God. The Lord Jesus prays first then that these people might receive eternal life. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And then he goes on to speak of what that eternal life is. It is to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And the more we know him, I believe the more we should want to be like him. And the Lord Jesus Christ set before us, when he was here on earth, this unity in various ways. Not only does he pray for it here, but if we turn over to the 15th of John, we see it in another way set before us. The vine and the branches, one. Oh, that we may see these things then, as they're set before us in the Word of God. Now, this particular prayer that the Lord Jesus put up for unity, how does he pray? He says, "Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee." And then he says, "Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Oh, that we may see that prayer answered in the Church of God, that they may be one as we are. You see, there is a oneness in the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. One in three and three in one. They cannot be divided. And so the Lord prays that his people, the church, may know this oneness as they knew it, that they may be one as we are. And he goes on to pray for this, doing that prayer. Oh, there is a desire, we believe, in the Lord Jesus, that his people might be truly one. Oh, have we the same desire then in our hearts? Have we the desire to pray for this unity, to know more of it, to realize that we are one in Christ Jesus? But as the body is one and hath many members, yet it's one body. And these members working together, desiring one another's good. Oh, the Lord Jesus then prays for this in another verse. He says, "The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Oh, that that prayer may be heard and answered in our case, and that we may know this true unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then, as our mind has gone to that 15th chapter, surely we can see this union there in the vine and the branches. The Lord Jesus speaks concerning his people, these that are spoken of in our text as the church. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." There will be this desire to feel a oneness in the first place with the Lord Jesus, a desire to abide in the vine, and then there will be a desire to feel that unity with the Lord's people, feel that real love one toward another. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." And what are these fruits that are brought forth when there is this oneness? I believe the apostle gives it to us in the Galatians. The fruits that the Lord's people will bring forth as they know something of this unity. In the Galatians we find this: the fruit of the Spirit is love. This is something that will bring about a bond, real love. Love is the golden chain that binds the happy souls above. Oh, how we would pray for more love, that the Lord would grant us an increase of it. Love. There will be that union that Ruth and Naomi knew, if there's love in our hearts one to another. And love will cover a multitude of sins. Love. trouble will cover a multitude of sins if we have that love. You see, the Lord Jesus had love in his heart to his people when he laid down his life for them. Oh, where there's love, there's unity. And springing from that love, where there's true love and true unity, I believe we've experienced this, there will be true joy. We mentioned this morning the prayer meeting, and when we have felt that oneness in prayer together, when we have known something of the meaning of that hymn, "The saints in prayer appear as one," there has been a real joy in our hearts as we have felt a oneness in prayer, as we felt that love flowing from heart to heart. Has been a joy that the world knows nothing of. Joy will flow from love and from this union. Joy and peace. You see, where these two things, there'll be bound to be peace. If we love one another with a pure heart fervently, and if we know something of that joy in our hearts, which springs from love, there'll be peace. Peace with one another, peace with God, peace, and there will be long suffering also. We shall desire to suffer long as the Lord Jesus Christ himself did. Long suffering, gentleness. Oh, how we would pray for more of these things, the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. To remember what the Lord Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul." There will be a gentleness and there will be a meekness in the heart of these that love one another. Oh, how the apostle then brings before us these fruits that flow from a union with Christ. Abide in me and I in you. If there's not this union, you see, this oneness, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. There'll be no fruit. But if we know what it is to be united to Christ and united to his people, there will be a bringing forth of this fruit. And then he goes on to say, "And the as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." What a love this is, the love of the Father and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Often think of that word in Jeremiah and how beautiful it is. The Lord said to him, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." The love of God is everlasting. It is everlasting, eternal love. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." You see, if we are desiring this unity and have this love in our hearts, there'll be a desire to keep his commandments, to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." How great was that love which the Lord Jesus manifested when he laid down his life. When, as he says in the 10th of John, "I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay it down of myself. No man taketh it from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Oh, how wonderful then this chapter is concerning the vine and the branches, the oneness that exists between the Lord and his people, and even between the people of God themselves, as the body is one. Oh, how we would desire then, as we consider these words, to know something of it, to realize that working together, that laboring together. I thought as I read that word this morning, surely there is a desire in our hearts to know it as we go on together in the things of God. I desire it for you and desire it for ourselves, that we may know what the Apostle Paul is speaking of in the third chapter of the first epistle of Corinthians here. He's speaking of the Lord's servants and of their laboring. And he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. How true that is. The Lord's servants may preach the gospel. They may pray for the Lord's people. They may be as these two here, Paul and Apollos. One may plant, another may water. But how true it is, only God can give the increase. Only God can bring the increase in the church. God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything. It is good when we're brought to that place, when we're nothing in his sight, brought down to nothing. Neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. The Lord help us to look to him for that increase that we would seek after in the church. The Lord alone can give the increase. And when will it come, friends? When there's this unity? I feel this, friends, where there's unity, there's strength. But where there's not unity, there's weakness. Where there's unity, there will be prosperity. We have it here very plainly set before us. The apostle goes on. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Notice that. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. Oh, how good it is when there is this oneness with the Lord's servants. It is good sometimes to meet with them, as we do at home once a month, and we can feel this unity of the Spirit among the brethren. We feel we can say concerning each other, we are brethren in the Lord. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And then that word, how it brings before us the unity. We are laborers together with God. The Lord's servants are laborers together with God. A desiring to labor together, a desiring this unity. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. There is a oneness, friend, in all these things that we have sought to meditate upon today. A oneness. And we would desire to be favored with it and to be seeking after it. As the body is one and hath many members, there are many members in the church, as we think of it worldwide, but that church of Christ is one body, having one head. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of that church. And how wonderfully does the apostle bring before us this great truth in this chapter, as the body is one, and have many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So it is with Christ in the church. He goes on to speak about the various members. He speaks of the feet. You see, each of our members have a particular part to take in the church. There are those like the feet, and there are those like the hand. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not body? Is it therefore not of the body? Each member is necessary. Each one is in its place, doing that particular work that the Lord has called them to do. And how wonderful it is when we can work together, when there's that working together and a desiring to know this unity, as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many of one body, so also is Christ. We should always keep this in mind as we think concerning the church. Although it is scattered throughout the whole world, it's one, and presently it will be brought together. I love to think of that word just come to the mind in the 10th of John, where the Lord speaks of his sheep, same people, the church of Christ, spoken of as a sheep. And in the course of that chapter, we find him saying, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. How we look forward then to that time when there should be one fold and one shepherd. There are many denominations on earth, many divisions, many separations, but presently there will be but one fold and one shepherd. Oh, how we long for that. There shall be, says the Lord, one fold and one shepherd. Oh, that we may be striving towards it here below then, this oneness in the things of God. We have thought in connection to this word, of that other word in the Ephesians, where the apostle speaks to us concerning this unity, and he brings it before us in that fourth chapter. This is a wonderful word concerning this unity of the Spirit. He says to us, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. We need grace to walk worthy of this vocation, to realize that we have been called by grace, called into those positions that we hold. How we desire grace to walk worthy of it. But how shall we walk worthy of it? With all lowliness. This is the desire of those that are united, to walk in this lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, for bearing one another in love. There will be a bearing and a forbearing, a desiring to pray one for another, a desiring to bear one another's burden. And then he says, endeavoring, and this shows, friends, how we need grace, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. It is possible, you see, that we may lose this unity. And so he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then he says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord. How this springs before us, true unity. One Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity in unity, one Lord, one faith. We are true believers in Christ. We possess that one faith, that faith which is the gift of God, that faith which He alone can impart, one faith, one baptism. What a mercy, friends, to be favored to walk in these things, to know that we have this one faith, that God has given it to us. When we are called by grace, quickened by the Spirit, we have that gift of faith bestowed upon us, as we have it very clearly set before us in chapter 2 of the Ephesians. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When God quickens a soul, he gives this grace of faith. It's one faith, one baptism. What a mercy to be favored to walk in this way of one baptism, and to know not only the baptism of water, the outward baptism, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit. To know that wonderful blessing of being baptized of the Holy Ghost. One baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Oh, how wonderful then does the Apostle speak of this unity in this very chapter. He speaks of the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the edifying of this church, the true church of Christ. And then he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Man, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This surely is growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there will be a desire to speak the truth in love. I believe the Lord's servants will have that desire to speak the truth of God in love. And how they desire that the Spirit may convey it to the hearts of the hearers, and that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. This is a wonderful description of the Church of God. Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. This is surely the work of the Spirit, to bring this unity, cause us to know the meaning of our text concerning the body, as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And how we love to think of that which the Apostle brings before us in the latter part of this chapter, after speaking of the various members of the body. We have mentioned the hands and the feet and the eyes. He says, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. I believe if we know this unity, there will be that in the church. There will be that sympathy with one another in our trials, in our afflictions, in our bereavement. Wherever there is suffering in one member, all the other members will suffer with them. They're sympathized with them. And certainly the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head, will suffer with them. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted. Yes, there will be a sympathy with those that suffer. And if one member be honored, all the members will rejoice with it. Be that rejoicing too amongst the members of this body. Oh, how beautiful then this unity is, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Oh, I shall never forget recently being brought to that sixth chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, and there we saw how these members are brought before us again by the Apostle Paul. He's speaking of the difference before calling grace, how our very members are used in a wrong way. Our members are used unto uncleanness. But he says when we are born again, these very members are used for God's honour and for God's glory. Oh, have we known that change? Have we been brought into this body of the church by being born again? Have we known something of this change in our hearts? Oh, I believe he gives it to us very wonderfully in the first part of that chapter when he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ being raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. And he says this: even so, we also should walk in newness of life. If we have been called by grace, born again, there will be a desire to walk in newness of life, a desire to know this unity among the Lord's people. And so he goes back into the past and he says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. This was our condition in the past. Our members were used as instruments of unrighteousness. But when we're born again, those very members will be used as instruments of righteousness unto God. We shall seek to use our lips to speak his word. We shall seek to use our tongues to proclaim his truth. We shall seek to use our hands in that way that the Lord Jesus did. We read of him, he went about doing good, healing all that had need of healing. And we shall have a desire, friends, to use our members as instruments of righteousness. And it is unto holiness. I believe where there's this unity, there will be a desire for holiness. The Apostle Peter says in his epistle, be therefore holy, for I am holy. I believe that there will be a desire in the Lord's people to grow in that holiness, to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, to have that spirit of Christ, that mind of Christ. Surely, friends, if we know this unity, we shall have a desire to walk in that word that is brought before us in the Philippians. It is a word that we desire to walk in more and more, where the apostle says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. If there's this unity in the church, there will be a desire, I believe, to esteem each other better than ourselves. And he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. And then he says, let this mind be in you. Oh, this is the mind we want. The mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. He who was God as well as man, equal with his Father, equal in power, equal in wisdom, equal in authority, and yet he made himself of no reputation. This is the example to follow. This is the person we should follow, friends. Made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Surely the Lord Jesus sets before us the way we should walk, and if we desire this unity, this is the way we shall walk. We shall desire this humility. We should desire the mind of Christ. I believe it is beautifully set before us in that 13th chapter of John. Surely, friends, if we are enabled to walk in that chapter where the Lord Jesus set that example before his disciples as he took the basin and the towel and began to wash the disciples' feet, there, friends, he gives us an example. And there we shall find real unity, a real oneness, as we're enabled to do what he did. He washed his disciples' feet. And after he had washed their feet, he said to them, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." This is where we should find unity. As we're enabled by grace, spiritually, to wash one another's feet. For he says, "I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." And then he says this, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Oh, that we may be able to walk in these things, to spiritually wash one another's feet, to desire one another's good, to pray continually for one another, and to be seeking this true unity amongst the people of God. I believe this should be our desire as we go on together in the things of God, to really feel that we are on the right side of this text. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body are many, they're many and they're one body, so also is Christ. Christ in the church, one. Oh, that we might have that desire then, as we leave his house this day, to walk in unity. As the hymn says, "Brethren, let us walk together in the bond of love and peace." Can it be a question whether brethren should from conflict cease? 'Tis in union, love and joy and peace increase. Oh, this is what we would desire to pray for then, the unity that is found in the words of our text. As the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. The Lord grant us this unity amongst us, and may we pray more and more for it and walk in it. We desire these things and desire that he may bless his word and bless you here as a people, and go before you and help his servant to preach the word. The Lord bless his word to us.
Thank you.
brought together in the bonds of love and peace. Pardon and forgive all thou hast seen amiss in our services this day. Grant us journey and mercy as we journey, and be with us in all that lies before us. Help us to lean upon thee and to trust in thee at all times. We ask it in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus and for his sake. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, rest and remain with us each, this night, and forevermore.